Great to see you all today. I invite you to get a Bible in your hands and open it to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, our text for this morning is just two verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, but these two verses hold for us some incredible truth. I keep saying to myself, Romans 8 can't get better. And then it does. And then it gets better, and then it gets better, and then it gets better. And I know what's coming, so I know we're not to the peak yet. But, man, these are some encouraging verses to my soul and to my heart. And so I look forward to breaking these two down with you here this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and read those two verses. Father God, I thank you so much for the morning that you have given us. I thank you for your kindness, which gives us another day to worship you. I thank you for your faithfulness, the way you never change. And so we know what to expect and we know what you require. And we know what you want from us. God, as we come today to worship you through the study of your word, I pray that you would just be glorified. You would bring our hearts to a place of amazement at what you do, and then we would truly worship you. That you would be honored, God, by our attitudes this morning. Thank you for these marvelous verses and the reality that they hold. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us, that guides us, that sanctifies us, that knows better than we do what we need. I pray that, God, we would walk in the leadership of that Holy Spirit. Help us as a church to follow the will of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to you as he grows us in sanctification. Help our lives to be one that would reflect our relationship with you. Help us to live holy as you are holy, God. And I thank you so much for this great opportunity to study with your people. Bless us. Help us to honor you because you're worthy. In your name I pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, it says this: likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These are good verses, and they're setting up and leading to a really good verse that we're going to spend some time on next week. And I'm praying that I can help you understand what it is that we're talking about here in verses 26 and 27. We are moving through the text of Romans, and we've spent some time now in Romans chapter 8, and we still have some time to go in Romans chapter 8. There are some really deep theological truths that we're going to talk about coming up. But today, as we get to verses 26 and 27, let me remind you of what we've been talking about for the past three-ish Sundays, so that you can properly understand this one that we're looking at right now. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at the believer's future glory. And in fact, I told you, verses 17 through 30 is a large section. It's the largest section of Romans chapter 8. And the entirety of that section is talking about how we, as children of God, we have a future inheritance. And so, I mean, that's incredible. We have something to look forward to. We know that this earth and what we have here is not as good as it gets. In fact, look at verse 17, how he starts the whole thing. He says, and if children, and I told you that'd be better translated as the word since, and since we are children of God, then heirs. There's no question about it. There's no exception in the Bible anywhere. All children of God are heirs of God. And so therefore, if you're a true member of the church, if you're a true Christian, you have a future inheritance to look forward to. And that's what our section is on here. That's what we've been focused on. And so after we, you know, kind of learned that and understood that, Paul started to give us pictures of this excitement, this anticipation of that future coming glory. And so in verses 19 through 22, we saw that the creation groans for the restoration that is to come. And by creation, we spent 2 weeks understanding that. And the creation is the created world as we know it, right? The created universe. This is not talking about Christians. This is talking about like the earth, forests, seas, the universe, right? These things that God has made, and they have been corrupted and cursed by God in sin, or when sin happened. And so because of that, they groan looking forward to the restoration that the Bible talks about will happen to the planet, as God will begin to restore the earth into the way that he originally created it. And then, in verses 23 through 25, we saw that not only the creation groans, but the believer groans. Somebody who's a true Christian, there's a groaning within them as they long for the redemption of our bodies, right? In Christ, we've been adopted. I'm an adopted son of God, and so I'm new inwardly. I have a new spirit that God has given me. He's made me born again. He's put his spirit within me. I have a new life, and so I'm a new creation. Inwardly, I'm totally new, but outwardly, I'm still wasting away. And when we go through the trials and the difficulties of this life, when we age and see the toll that that takes on our health and our well-being, and when we go through unexpected tragedies that are a part of life here on earth as we live in a sinful state, these are the things that make us long for eternity. And so there's a groaning from the creation. There's a groaning from the Christians. Today, in verses 26 and 27, we learn that the Holy Spirit that is within believers groans also. The Holy Spirit, who is God, he's the third person of the Trinity, he indwells all true believers, and he groans in intercession for us, God's children. If you understand what that means, that's mind-blowing. But we're going to spend the next little bit of time making sure that you understand what that means. We all need people that pray for us. Do you understand that? Do you understand the power of prayer? And it is such a blessing when you know that somebody faithfully uplifts you in prayer, that somebody takes their time to go talk to the powerful, creator, sustaining God of the universe on your behalf. I am so thankful for the people in my life that I know pray for me. One of the things that has started somewhat recently here at North Street is we there's a group of us that gather and pray every single Sunday before Sunday school. From 8:30 to 9, we gather in a room and we pray. We pray for the service. We pray for each other. We pray for the things that are going on and the needs of this church. And listen, everybody's invited to that. If you want to come and pray with us, 8:30 in the mornings, Sunday morning, before Sunday school, we try to be done by Sunday school so that you can still go learn. And we'll get a bigger room if we need to. That's not a problem. So if you want to come and pray, come and pray. I have grown so thankful for the faithfulness of the people that come and gather in that room and pray. And you know what happens? Every single week, they pray for me as I get the opportunity to stand up here and deliver God's word to you and tell you about what these words mean. And they pray for me that I would do a good job, that I would be faithful, that God would be glorified in and through it. And it is so encouraging to me. It really is. And we all need people that do that for us. Prayer is powerful. Now, as amazing as that is, and as amazing it is to think about the people that consistently pray for you and be thankful for those people that pray for you, imagine God praying for you. Like, think about that thought, that God would care about your needs and then take them before God on your behalf. That's what we're talking about in this text today. This is a Trinitarian God. That's what we serve, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so in the Trinitarian Godhead, there's communication. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of that Trinitarian Godhead, goes before the Father, the first person of that Trinitarian Godhead, on your behalf if you're a believer. That's incredible. I mean, do you understand who God is? He knows all things. He's in control of all things. He lacks no knowledge. I mean, he knows your heart. He knows your circumstance. He knows the will of the Father. And so when the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, when the Holy Spirit prays for you as the believer, it is effective. He never prays selfishly or incorrectly with the wrong motives or wondering if his prayer is in alignment with the Father's will. That's never an issue. He's always in alignment with the Father's will. And so literally just dwell on that a little bit. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit within you as a believer, and that Holy Spirit groans in intercession for you, the child of God. That's what we're talking about here today. Let's look at the text and try to see that really, really clearly. Look at verse 26. He says, likewise. That means in the same way. Some of your Bibles might even say it that way. In the same way. I like that translation a little bit better. But what the word likewise or in the same way is doing is it's connecting us back to verses 18 through 25, the ones that we've already looked at. And what were we looking at in verses 18 through 25? I already showed you that. We were looking at the groaning of first the physical creation and then the groaning of the believers. And so then you come to the word likewise, and it helps you grasp that Paul's thoughts here have not changed. The focus has not shifted. Likewise, or in the same way, we live in a fallen world where we face suffering at this present time. That's what he said in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time. And so that's what you and I face, and we deal with that in this world, and that leaves us groaning for eternity, and likewise, in the same way, the Holy Spirit groans as well. So when you go through hardship as a believer, when you go through trials, when you face the things that are a result of sin, and not necessarily your sin, just sin in general, right? People die because of sin. And so your parents are going to die. Your children are going to die. Cancer's going to come, right? All these things will happen in life. And when you go through those things, they leave you as the Christian groaning, longing for the reality of what comes next, the inheritance that's promised, the glory that's promised. Well, likewise, as you go through those things and as you are facing difficulty and hardship, the Holy Spirit that is within you, he groans on your behalf. How encouraging is that? It says in the text, likewise, the Spirit also helps. How encouraging is that? I get help from God, the Holy Spirit. When I'm suffering, when I go through hardship, when I have to deal with the difficulties of this life, I don't deal with them alone. I have the help of God, the Holy Spirit, who lives within me. The Holy Spirit has been our focus throughout chapter 8 here. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit a lot for the last couple months as we've been walking through Romans chapter 8. He's the one that grows us in our sanctification, right? And so far this entire year, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and now Romans chapter 8 has been on the focus of sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit that grows us in that sanctification. And so our focus has been on the Holy Spirit a lot. Well, here we're learning that we aren't alone in our difficulties. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. I like the word also there. I think it's really encouraging to me. It says, the Spirit also helps. That's important. Because what have we looked at that already helps us as we go through difficulties on this earth? What was our sermon last week talking about? Hope, right? We were talking about how the believer, as they go through trials and they go through hardship, and the verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be. So we have a hope for what shall be. And so as we go through the what's happening now, we keep our hope. And remember, hope is not a wish. Hope is a guarantee for something that's going to happen in the future. And so we stay fixed in hope for what God has promised for the future. And that helps us get through the hardship of life here and the suffering that we have to go through. Well, we'll say it like this. Hope is helpful for our walk through suffering. But now we're learning that hope isn't our only help. We also have the Holy Spirit that helps us. And if you thought hope was helpful, well, how much more encouraging is it that God himself, as the Holy Spirit, is here helping us along through that same process? Look at the word help with me. The Spirit also helps. That word means to lay hold of and pull along. I'm breaking that down into simplicity. To carry along, in other words. So this is a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit who pulls us along. He pulls the believer along as we go through difficulty, as we walk through trials. Now, this is a really, really big word in the Greek. In English, it's just a couple letters, but some of you guys, you know, like to follow along in your tablets and things and look up the Greek words as we're talking. You'll see this is a long word in Greek. So there's a lot to it. I mean, if you would actually break this down, the simple English word for help doesn't exactly say it. It's one thing to help somebody. Like, oh, you are, you know, trying to get in that door. Let me help you and hold the door open. It's another thing to pick somebody up and carry them. Oh, you're trying to get in that door? Let me just put you on my shoulder and carry you up the steps so that you're in the door. Do you see the difference there? That's more the idea of this word help, to lay hold of and pull along. You're not just minimally helping, you're carrying that one through. This is the carrying of us believers by the Holy Spirit. When you go through difficulties in life, when you go through trials and struggles, you know how many people react with, well, where's God now? If you're a believer, literally carrying you through the difficulty. That's what this is telling us. The Holy Spirit carries us. He lays hold of us and pulls us along in that situation. Notice here in verse 26, this is in the present tense. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. That's presently. It doesn't say he helped us. It says he helps presently. It's God, the third person of the Trinity, being directly involved in our lives. He continually, presently helps us as we go through difficult things. That means that the Holy Spirit is with us always, in every single challenge that we face. You won't have to walk through difficulty on your own as a follower of Jesus Christ. No matter what it is that you have to face, the Holy Spirit is there helping you if you're a believer. Not only is it in the present tense, I love this one. This is active as opposed to passive. When you look at that in the text, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. We don't have to beg him to help us. He's not sitting there begrudgingly, you know, like, oh man, somebody's got to come and force me to help. He's active in the life of the Christian, wanting to help you through your difficulties. He's directly involved and he takes initiative in your sanctification. You understand that? You're not sitting there wishing that the Holy Spirit would come and help you, and he's asleep on the job. He's actively involved, so much so that you're not the one taking initiative and asking him. He takes the initiative and comes and works and carries you through and grows you into Christ-likeness. And specifically where we're going in this text is he actively intercedes for you. He takes you and what would be your concerns on your behalf before the Father. How incredible. One more thing I notice about verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We haven't got to the in our weaknesses part yet, but noticing this helps here as we're looking at it, this isn't a condition. There's no condition laid out that would make that would mean I have to meet this in order for the Holy Spirit to come and help me. It very simply says, He helps us in our weaknesses. So you don't have to first do this and this and this in order to meet the conditions where the Holy Spirit is then willing to come now help you through your difficulties. He just does it. Every child of God has this help continually. And so there, if you want any condition, there it is. This is only for believers. But it's not like as you as a Christian, you don't have to suffer so much before you gain access to the Holy Spirit's help. No, He's helping you every day, continually, as a child of God. All believers are filled with and helped by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. The Spirit also helps in our weakness. Believers, Christians, are still full of weakness. You understand that? If you don't think that you are weak, then you got a major issue in life. You have a major pride problem. We are still in the flesh, right? And God doesn't see us in the flesh. We've been made new. We're new creations in God's eyes. But like we talk so much through chapter 7, that new creation is still housed in this old body of flesh. And my flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so as beings that are still in the flesh, we face weakness. The definition here in our weakness, it means helpless on our own. I like to think of it as disabled. We're disabled. We can't do that. We need help. And this is all Christians. I want you to understand that very clearly, because oftentimes I think we tend to compare ourselves to other people. And so we start to struggle with something, or we face a season where, you know, we're weak. We're going through difficulty, and maybe we don't handle it quite correctly. And you know, there's weakness that comes out because of that's what we are. And then we start to look at other people, and we think, if I could just be like that person, right? They got it all together. They're the most mature Christian that I've ever seen. They have, like, no weaknesses. Well, that's just not true. Every single Christian struggles and is weak. They have weaknesses. There is no Christian that is so great that they don't deal with this, what this is talking about, this disabledness. Notice it says, I think this is really helpful, in our weakness. So who's writing? Who's our author? This is the Apostle Paul. And he doesn't say the Spirit will help you in your weakness. He says the Spirit helps in our weakness. He includes himself into this text. And that's really helpful to me, because that says it doesn't matter how great of a Christian you are, you still struggle in weakness. Even the Apostle Paul struggled in weakness. That's why he says our. And now who's Paul? I mean, we're talking about mature, apostle, author of much of the New Testament, Paul. And he's weak in his flesh. He deals with hardship just like you do. He doesn't always know what to pray or what to do. And in that weakness, he has to rely on the Holy Spirit that is within him. One of our weaknesses in the flesh, look at how the text defines it in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever not known how to pray for something? In our weakness, right, and in being in these fleshy bodies and dealing with the struggles that we have to deal with here in life and being the weak beings that we are, there's times where we just don't know what to say before God. In our weakness, we can get emotionally distraught. We don't know how to pray. In our weakness, we can give in to the idea that I just feel like God doesn't hear my prayers. You ever pray for something over and over and over and over again? And you feel like, why is this not being answered? Like, surely this is God's will, right? And then it's weakness that makes you start to doubt if God's hearing you or cares. How about literally physical trials? Like as your body starts to age or you go through accidents and you get to the point where the trials leave you physically exhausted. You ever been so tired that you can't pray properly? I fall asleep when I'm praying all the time. Now, that's not because I'm so exhausted. Sometimes I need to just be more diligent in how I'm doing that. But there's other times where my body is exhausted, and it's like I want to be praying, but I keep falling asleep. And I keep thinking about that idea of weakness, and it's like you get in that weakness, and you just don't know what you should pray for in that moment. And notice, once again, Paul includes himself. For we do not know what we should pray for. This is all believers. No matter how mature you are, you will be in situations where you're not sure what to say. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as I was putting this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but that's where the Apostle Paul, he goes before God because he has the thorn in his flesh. You guys remember that text? And if you remember it, Paul has the thorn in his flesh, and he says, three times I have pleaded with the Lord to take it away. Paul is hurting. He's weak over this thorn that's in his flesh. I don't believe it's a literal thorn, like a jagger, or however you'd say that. We're in Pittsburgh, so I guess you know what I mean. It's the hardship that he's going through there, and it's wearing him down. And so he says, I spent three seasons of prayer. And Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord. That doesn't mean he said three prayers, and he's moving on. That's three seasons of prayer. Like, he has focused on this, and he's exhausted himself in prayer multiple times, taking this before the Lord. And you know, I'm going to paraphrase it, but you remember what God said to Paul? No, I won't take it away because I want you to rely on me in your weakness. We are weak, but God isn't weak. And when we are weak and don't know what to pray, it's God, the Holy Spirit, that's within us that knows exactly what to take before the Father. I mean, as Paul pleads this three times and God comes and says no, I'm sure Paul is thankful for the help of the Holy Spirit within him that he's writing about here in Romans chapter 8. When we don't know how to pray, look at it, verse 26. The Spirit within us prays for us. It says, but. For when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but. There's the transition. OK? Okay, that's a transitional word. I'm weak. I don't know what to pray for, but I'm not alone. Verse 26, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is incredible. The Holy Spirit himself personally intercedes for the believer. He is directly interceding for me in my weaknesses. This is also in the present tense. It says, the Spirit himself makes intercession. That's present tense. So continually, always, as I live here and struggle through things in this life, the third person of the Trinitarian Godhead pleads my case before the first person of the Trinitarian Godhead. I don't even know how to properly express how amazing that is to you. That exactly what I'm going through, and that's not lost on God. God knows what I'm going through. God's in charge. But as I go through it and don't know what to say and am weak over it, God within me lifts up exactly, perfectly, what needs to be lifted up before God above me. And if you think that's amazing, let me just add to it. This isn't in your text, but I think it's important for us to highlight because there's more. Not only is the Holy Spirit interceding for you as a Christian, but who else is? We also have Jesus Christ, the intercessor, interceding for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Listen to how incredible this passage is. Therefore, he, this is Christ, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The resurrected Jesus Christ, right? So he died once, and then he resurrected to never die again. He's the ever-living Jesus Christ. And here it says, he always lives to make intercession for us. So the always living Savior Jesus is always making intercession for us, his children. The true children of God are always being advocated for before the Father by the Savior himself. We could spend a lot of time on that, but I just want your mind worshiping over this reality. Listen. I have two advocates with the Father. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Trinitarian Godhead is in unison over me, their child, the adopted child of God. Both of these advocates that I have before the Father, both of them are never wrong. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're both God. Both of them know the will of the Father perfectly. Both of them are for me. And they appeal to the Father for me. One of those advocates is in heaven with the Father. That's Jesus Christ. The other of those advocates is on earth indwelling the believer. That's the Holy Spirit. And both of them pray for you. Rejoice. Worship. Be mind blown at that incredible fact. How comforting is that? I mean, you're going to go through hard stuff in life. And when you do, think about the fact that Jesus Christ is praying for you. Jesus Christ is advocating for you to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, so he's there with the Father, advocating for you. And then the Holy Spirit, who's here with you, is advocating to the Father. And it's just this perfect Trinitarian unity. Go back to verse 26. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here's where the groanings come in. We saw that the creation groans for the longing for that restoration to come. We saw that creation, or that Christians groan, longing for the redemption of their bodies. Now, here we see that the Spirit, while we're weak, God, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I love that idea. He groans. He feels. He has emotions and affections. This is the Holy Spirit. He's a he. The Bible talks about how we as believers can grieve the Holy Spirit. So he's a person. You got to get that into your brain. I think often when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of, you know, we don't think of him as a person, but he is. He's the third person of the Trinity. He has qualities of the Godhead, and we're made in the image. And so you see these qualities within him. He is a person. And how incredible is it that he feels and intensely longs on our behalf. Like me as a person, sometimes my emotions and my feelings and my groanings are very selfish. But the Holy Spirit, as a person that is within me, he feels intensely and longs for our behalf. He is sympathetic to our burdens and the things that we're going through. And it says here in verse 26 that he intercedes for us with groaning. So he's invested in this. This is an intense longing. This groaning, this desire for. As he intercedes, that means takes us on our behalf, takes us to the Father. It says he does that with groanings which cannot be uttered. These four words, which cannot be uttered. It's only one word in the Greek, and it means unspeakable. So with groanings that are unspeakable, as the Holy Spirit, understand this, let me help you piece this together. As the Holy Spirit groans in intercession for us, he doesn't need to speak audibly. He is connected to the Father. They're the same God. And so as he feels deeply for us, God knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. God knows the groans of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Trinitarian Godhead once again. And so the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, perfectly knows the will of the Father. So he's not going to groan and long for things that would not be in line with the Father's will. And the Father perfectly knows the mind and the groans of the Holy Spirit as one God. And that makes this extremely powerful, because as he intercedes for you, it's perfect intercession. He knows what the Father wants. He knows who you are. It's really sad that I need to say this, but this verse has absolutely nothing to do with speaking in tongues. Nothing. It's not even in the context. It's really sad to me that such an incredible verse that should be worshipped over, and just the reality of the Holy Spirit going on our behalf before the Father, has been turned into a theme verse and one that is blatantly used out of context for the charismatic movement to say that speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit uttering through you to the Father. It literally says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. They're unspeakable. Not speakable. And this is not a lesson on that, but I mean, if you go through your Bible and you look at what speaking in tongues is, it's speaking a known language. So these people would start speaking in a language that they weren't learned in, because God was allowing that to go further, and he had his use for that in a certain time. But that's not for today. And then what's happened is these churches have twisted that, and they've turned that idea into more of like a gibberish language. And that's where they've tried to use this verse to defend it, because it says it's this groaning which can't be uttered. And when somebody is saying something that's uncomprehensible to anybody, and they're saying it's from the Spirit, they've had to try to find a verse that they could plug in. And this is the one that they've used. But that's just out of context. It's sad. This is a very, very powerful verse, and it has nothing to do with that charismatic silliness. This is about the Holy Spirit interceding directly to the Father on our behalf. And that's encouraging. Look at verse 27 as he sums that idea up. Now, he who searches the heart. Who is he who searches the hearts? Who's the he here? This is God the Father. God the Father is the one that searches man's heart. Search me and know me, O God. And so this is who the Spirit intercedes to he who searches the heart. And look what it says. Now, he who searches the hearts, you know what, let me just dwell on that for 1 second. If God the Father searches the hearts, you understand that you're not getting away with anything, right? God knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows your ambitions. He knows the things you love. He knows the things that you spend your time focused on and where your affections are. He knows your heart. As the Father knows your heart, let's read it again, verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So see how 27 is helping us understand verse 26? Why can the Spirit go before the Father with groanings that don't need to be uttered? Because the Father, the one that knows your heart, perfectly knows the mind of the Spirit. God can't learn anything. God has already known the mind of the Spirit. God knows all things that have already happened, that will happen. He knows it all. And so as the Father searches the hearts, the Father also knows exactly what the Spirit is groaning for. They're connected. This is the Trinity. So as the Spirit groans, the Father knows. And how comforting is it, guys? Think about this. Just that verse right there, just the beginning of verse 27. How comforting is it that the Father knows knows your heart. I love that verse. That's comforting to me. And the Spirit's mind. So as I'm going through hardship, as I'm dealing with difficulties, as I have to face things like church splits and things that can mess with your brain a little bit as a pastor, God knows my heart. That's so comforting to me. And God knows the mind of the Spirit that groans within me. Perfectly. There's no mistaking it. So as you are weak, the Holy Spirit within you intercedes, and the Father is perfectly working all of it according to His will. This is the glorious setup for verse 28, which we're going to talk about next week. So lastly, let's finish verse 27. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He, that's the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now think about what that's saying. So as you go through hard things, it's the Holy Spirit that's interceding for you. But why doesn't it need to be uttered? Why can it be unspeakable? Well, because the Father perfectly knows the heart of the Spirit and the mind of the Spirit and the things that the Spirit is groaning for. He already knows all of that. But then also here, the Holy Spirit perfectly knows the will of the Father. And so it says He makes intercession for the saints, that's you, Christian, according to the will of God. So He makes perfect intercession for you because He's perfectly connected to the Father's will. The Holy Spirit does not have one groaning for you that goes against the Father's will. He knows the Father's will. And so when He carries you along, He's carrying you in and through the Father's will. There's perfect unity. What this passage is helping us grasp, there is perfect unity between sovereign Father God and interceding for us, Holy Spirit. One mind, they're one God, there's one goal between them. Isn't that comforting? So I'm saying, take this sermon home and just dwell on it for a while. It is amazing to me that God has not left us to do this on our own, but He's put His Holy Spirit within us, who is perfectly connected to His will and who He perfectly knows His heart and mind, and then that Spirit communicates to Him about me. I feel like I could go through anything as I dwell on that reality. So, let me just end like this. No one has ever prayed for you like the Holy Spirit does. Because, I mean, I love it when people pray for me, and we should pray for each other, but we don't know the will of the Father perfectly like He does. So thank God for the intercessor that He has given you. And be comforted that you are not alone. You have the hope of what lies before you, and you have the help of the Holy Spirit who intercedes for you. And you remember that when you go through the trials of this life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for the glorious reality of the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. God, You have designed this thing so intentionally and so perfectly. You call us and You save us and You transform us and You fill us with Your Spirit, and then that Spirit lifts up our needs in perfect accordance with your will to you. I thank you for that. I pray that we would just marvel at that and worship you, the God who is worthy. Thank you for this church, the time we've had this morning. May you be glorified in and through it. It's in your name that I pray. Hey, anybody that's planning on helping with VBS, just stick around for a few minutes. Meet me downstairs in the dining room. I'm going to say goodbye to a few people, and then I'll be down there to run. My wife and me will run a vacation Bible school meeting. Thanks, guys.